We got folks, Brother Nathan's supposed to be here for Thanksgiving. I don't know if he's going to stay through Sunday, is he? He is. Man, we haven't had no revivals, but since August, but we've got preachers coming by to be with us, and that's a blessing. And Brother Nathan is a good preacher, and it's good to have a lot of our guys, you know, the guys that we love and care about, and Roe will be here tonight. And Brother Jerry sent me a thing the other day. He always sends me a prayer every morning and stuff like that. He had, at the end of this prayer, he had a thing, and it was just a quote. It says, God formed us, sin deformed us, the Bible informs us, and Jesus transforms us. That's a good thing. I like that. I wrote that down. That's a good thing. But that don't have nothing to do with what I'm preaching about this morning. Well, maybe it does. Maybe it does have something to do with it. All right, take your Bible. Look with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, and look at chapter 2. We're going to start there. We're going to do a lot of looking and a lot of looking at different places. I've thought about how come Christians fail, people fail in the Christian life. I've been thinking about that. I know when I got saved, I got in. I wanted to get in. If it wasn't for somebody helping me, I probably wouldn't have stayed in if somebody didn't help me. And I would have fell out into sin and all kinds of mess and got. And I mean, for the first year, I've told you all this, first year I was saved, I was up and down, up and down, up and down. And then, you know, end up in prison after I got saved. And then, you know, God got me out. I knew God got me out and gave me a chance. And I wanted to make the best of what God gave me. But I've thought about how many Christians fail in this life. How come they don't make it? And I've told Roe, and Roe's going to be here tonight, I've told Roe, I don't know how many times, I've told a lot of people, I say, most Christians only last 5 years. I mean, serving God. 5 years. And that's a shame. That's really a shame. You say, what does it take for a Christian to stick to it? It takes labor, brother. Yeah. The Bible talks about being a soldier of Jesus Christ. It says, put on the whole armor of God. It talks about those things that we're supposed to do as a soldier. Mike's been preaching on the will of God, teaching on the will of God. And the will of God is for you to make it as a Christian. He wants you to make it as his child. He wants you to grow. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to get stronger. He wants you to help others. He wants you to lead others to him. And most Christians don't end up doing that. I started thinking about Christians fail in their prayer life. They fail there. They'll pray for something that God doesn't give it to them. Then they quit. They fail in their praise. We don't have a praise team here. We don't need a praise team. You're supposed to be praising God. We're supposed to sing praise. I noticed while we were singing today, not a lot of people were happy. Didn't look like you were happy. You're supposed to be singing praises to a God that's sitting on a throne in heaven that allowed his son to pay your sin debt. I mean, he came down and became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God by him. And I find, you know, what we get hooked up with the politics, and we get thinking about this in the world, got to pay these bills, and the bills pile up, and you got more, and you think when you're getting ahead, you're falling behind, and you got all this stuff. But in the middle of all that stuff, you're still supposed to give God praise. That's God's desire. And most Christians have failed in their prayer life. They fail in their praise, and they fail in their worship. They fail worshiping God. And I would say this, most Christians never worship God. We got on our sign, and all across this country, around the world, got on the sign, worship hour, 11 o'clock. There ain't a whole lot of worshiping going on. Really? Yeah. You know, I've been to a Catholic church at 11 o'clock, and I see people getting down there, and they're worshiping statues, and they're praying to statues, and they're doing all this stuff. I mean, you say, well, they're just... Paul talks about that in Acts chapter 17. They worship they know not what. And, you know, they think they're worshiping Jesus Christ. They're not worshiping, they're worshiping idols. And I thought about, you know, why is it that Christians, and this, especially in this generation and the generations to come, we're living in the Laodicean period where the Bible talks about, you know, we're rich, we have need of nothing, and we, you know, everything's going on, we got all this money, but we're not happy. And we don't pray. We don't praise God. We don't worship God. And boy, it's a difference between praising God and worshiping God in prayer. And I want to show you something this morning. Take the Bible, look first, and we'll start here. And I've wondered about Christian failing. Why did they fail? And, you know, I always ask people when they start messing around, I say, have you read your Bible? And they'll say, yeah, well, I've read my Bible. Well, have you prayed? Yeah, don't be so, look like you're so mad about it. You mad about reading your Bible? Your Bible ought to be the tenderizer, whatever tenderizes your heart. It ought to be there to tenderize you. You know, I read my Bible. Well, praise God. At least, man, you know, got an attitude about you asking them about reading their Bible. You know, I know this, when I have an attitude, usually if people don't read their Bible, they don't pray, they don't praise God, they don't worship, they always got an attitude. They always got a bad way about them. They always got something going on in their life, always. I find people that pray, people that praise, and people that worship, they're smooth sailing. It's something about it. I mean, they go through troubles, but it just doesn't attach themselves to them. It doesn't. The Bible talks about the devil, the fiery darts of the wicked. And what happens is you're out in the world, man. You're getting fired at. You're getting shot at by the world and the flesh and the devil. And person that learns how to pray and learns how to praise and learns how to worship, those things just can't. They bounce off of them. They just bounce off. Why? Because they got the shield of faith. They got the helmet of salvation. They got the breastplate of righteousness. They got all those things. They're ready, man. They're ready for it. They're ready for it. But most Christians that don't pray, I find most Christians don't spend time with God in prayer. You can see it when you come to church. You can see it when, man, you can tell, you can see it when you're supposed to be praising God, you're like, come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. My Lord, man, what a terrible thing way Christians act. They got attitude with their husband. They got attitude with their wife. They got attitude with the kids. Got attitude. I've seen preachers, man, they just got attitude with the congregation. And man, if you had to look at it, what I look at every week, you'd probably have attitude too. See, that man, you see, I'm looking at people, man, when you should be praising God, you're not. When you should be worshiping God, you're not. You're thinking about all the stuff that you're going through. Woe is me. Oh, woe is me. Oh, this is always me. It's always about me. Yeah, but you know, you want to know what God's will is? God's will for you is to pray. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. You're called by, how many of y'all called by God's name? Raise your hand. Some of y'all don't even want to lift your hand. I mean, if you're called by God's name and you humble yourself, you're supposed to know how to pray. You know, well, I find this. People come to church and I said, well, why don't you ask the Lord to forgive? They said, well, I don't know how to pray. Here we are in America and they say, I don't know how to pray. Now, you find a guy in the book of Acts, chapter 10, named Cornelius, and the Bible says this guy wasn't even saved. He wasn't even saved. And a man, when the angel appeared to him, he said, your prayers are a memorial up in heaven. What you've been praying, man, it's a memorial up there. The guy wasn't even saved. And there's a lot of Catholics that know how to pray, and they're praying to the wrong God. And man, Muslims, you see the Muslims three times a day throwing their carpet out, praying that towards the east. Jews, man, I was over in Israel. They have a call to prayer. All over the nation. As a sound goes out and people go to pray. Muslims go to pray. But Christians, we don't pray. You know why we don't pray? We got a credit card. Yeah. How about that? Yeah. And I'm guilty. I know we used to make fun of Miss Carol. I'd see Brother Renee sitting out in the car sleeping. Miss Carol would be in the grocery store. And she'd be in the grocery store, and we went and spied her. I spied at her, see what she was doing. Miss Carol would pick up, I'm not kidding, she drove me crazy at times. And drove Renee, you know, he just sat in the car and went to sleep. But Miss Carol was always praying about things. She'd go in the store, I'm not kidding, man. And I mean, there's some things you think, well, you ain't got to pray about it. You just do it. Yeah. Just do it. Miss Carol would go in there and say, Lord, should I buy this can of fruit or should I not? Lord, you know this can of fruit, you know, it should be a better price than what it is right now. And she would pray about it. Lord, that meat, is that meat any good, Lord? She would be talking to God about it. That would drive most Christians nuts. If my wife had to pray over every piece of meat, I mean, we pray over our food, don't get me wrong. But if she went in the store, I'd be, you know the way men are? Men, we go in the store like this, we go, I got that. But women like, you know, going shopping, women like to go, oh, wow, look at that. Wow, I wonder how that looks on me. Yeah, praying about it there. That drives me crazy. It does. I mean, I go in the store, I got to get what I got to get, and I get out. But it's something built in them. I don't know what it is. It's something built into them that they just get a joy out of that. And I don't get a joy out of that. I mean, I do get a joy in going tool shopping. And truck shopping. I get a joy out of those things. And she doesn't. And we're different. We're different. But prayer is important in a child of God's life. Thank God we're different. Amen. I wouldn't want to wake up with somebody, you know. Anyway. But how much time do we pray? You know the Bible tells us pray without ceasing. Now, Miss Carol was praying without ceasing. And you know the Bible tells us pray without ceasing. And look what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:2. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for an authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men be saved. God says, this is good. This is something that every Christian ought to be doing. You ought to be praying, making supplication, intercession for others, giving of thanks. Giving of thanks. Thanking the Lord for what you got. Be content with such things as you have. Thanking the Lord. Man, I don't find very many Christians this day and time doing that. Praising God, thanking the Lord for his goodness. You know, praying is important in our lives. And look at Matthew chapter 5. Look at Matthew 5. And we're starting here. I probably won't get done. Mark was telling me last night, he said, you start a message and it takes you two or three weeks to get it done. And sometimes don't even get it done then. But Matthew chapter 5, look at this, verse 44. Matthew 5, 44. I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do we do that? You said, well, that's in the millennium. It says, I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. He says that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. You want to be like the Father. Be like the Son, which is in heaven. For he maketh his Son to rise on the evil and on the good, and send rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them that love you, what reward have you? You want a reward? Do you really want a reward? You love them that hate you. Love them that despitefully use you. He says, do not even the publicans the same? For if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. I mean, man, the Bible tells us to pray. It tells us to have mercy on people, salute people, be concerned about people. Take your Bible, look in 1 Kings. Look in 1 Kings. Look at this, 1 Kings. Prayer. Prayer is essential in a Christian's life. It's essential. I mean, if you don't know how to pray, I had to learn how to pray. When I was going to school in Tabernacle, when I first went to school there, I remember John Garner told me, said, hey, Alan, let's go up in the prayer room. I said, really? Prayer room? They got a prayer room here? Yeah, and it was all the old men went up in the prayer room. I was a young guy. I was 20, 21 years old. And I wanted to go up there, and these guys prayed out loud, everybody at the same time. Everybody. It sounded like a charismatic tongue meeting. And they're up there, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it sounded like a battle going on. As the closer I got to the room, it sounded like there was a war going on in there, a fight going on. And more I got closer to the room, it was like, and I got in there, and I sat down there, and man, I started praying. I was trying to concentrate on my prayer. I was trying to concentrate how to pray. I couldn't do it at first. I said, man, I can't concentrate. I'm listening to all this stuff around me. But then I learned, but I didn't quit. I kept going back in there. Then I learned how to tune things out. That's what you got to do in life. I learned how to tune things out. So when these guys are praying and they were all, I'm going, God, I thank you, Lord. God, help my brother. I mean, I was praying for our needs because, man, we didn't have food. We didn't have food at the house. We didn't have things. I was working, but, man, money was going right out. And, man, I got to the place where after I finished praying, those guys would still be praying, and I would tune in. I'd sit in a chair. I'd pull a chair up, and I would sit in the room for like 30 minutes with them. And there would be men coming in and out, different men, before the service. And that's why the services were so powerful. The preacher had power to preach. I seen people while Dr. Sight was teaching Sunday school, I seen people come down the altar weeping while he was teaching Sunday school and fall on their knees and pray. I thought, Dr. Sight, why don't you deal with him right now? He said, well, son, have a seat over there. We'll talk to you a little bit. And man, they'd be crying. I mean, they weren't drunk. They were sitting in the service. They just got up and walked down there and started weeping and crying, saying, oh, God, have mercy, oh, God. I mean, right in the middle, it'd be you know, 1,000 people in the building. I remember sitting over there in the chair, and I remember tuning in to each brother's prayer time. I would tune in and say, yeah, Lord, help him. Bless him, Lord. God, meet the need. I mean, brother, the Bible says that where two or three gather together in his name, there he's in the midst. We don't pray like that no more. That's why we don't see a lot more done. You know, Lord's blessed this church. We see, man, we see above average for this day and time people getting saved. But we don't see the people sticking by it. And I think that's a lack on our part when it comes to prayer. Wednesday night prayer meeting is the least likeliest meeting to attend. When it should be, Wednesday night should be the biggest time of we all get together and pray. You say, well, it takes so long. Yeah, but you're going to go home and watch the news. You're going to go home and watch some show. My favorite show's on. Who cares about that? It's not real. This is real life. Things are going to get rougher. Biden gets, it's going to be rougher. You know what? I told Jesse, I said, you know what? It'd be just like the Lord allowed something like this to come on and tell Christians to pray more. Christians pray more. When Obama was in, a lot of people prayed. Prayer. Look at 1 Kings 8. 1 Kings 8. Look for 22. And Solomon has a prayer of dedication. And, you know, Solomon, he prayed, but see, Solomon, there was something in Solomon that wasn't, it was something in David that Solomon didn't have. David was a man after God's own heart. David was the kind of guy, David prayed, he praised, and he worshiped. And he did it when nobody else was around. I wonder how many Christians, when you're by yourself, you pray, you praise, and then you worship. I liked it while I was reading over there about Isaiah and Isaac. Isaac, the Bible says he went out in the evening tide and went and meditated. He's walking along, and that's when his bride was coming, Rebecca. He was meditating. A preacher one time, he got this parrot, and he was preaching a funeral. And the wife, the man that he preached the funeral, the wife says, my husband wants you to have this parrot. I guess he did it as a joke. And he took the parrot home, and all that parrot knew was cuss words. The parrot cussed, and he said, my Lord, why would this guy want to give me this? I'm going to strangle this sucker, stinging parrot. Every time I turn around, the parrot's cussing. And people come in the house, the parrot says cuss words at him. Terrible thing. And finally, he said, man, I got to do something about it. And he told some people about it, and the lady said, you know what, bring it to my house. I got a real sweet parrot, And all my, it's a female, and that's a male. So my female parrot, all she does is say, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. And now she brought that other parrot into the house and put it up there next to the other parrot, the female parrot that said, let's pray. And that parrot that did the cussing and everything, he said, hey, Toots, how about a kiss? Now, that female parrot went, praise God, my prayers are answered. Hallelujah. I don't know why that came to my mind, man. We don't pray. We just don't pray. And man, when the Bible says Solomon, when he started praying, man, look at this. Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, spread forth his hands towards heaven. You know what this is? You know what you lifting up your hands? The Bible talks about lifting up holy hands. You know what it's talking about? It's not saying present. It's not. It could be, but I think it's this. It's saying, God, I'm unworthy. God, I'm so unworthy of your mercy. The Bible says that Solomon stood in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands towards heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servant that walketh before thee with all their heart. And Solomon's praying, and he's talking to God about what they're getting ready to do. And Solomon's, he preaches a sermon in verse 12 up to 21, and then he starts praying, and he says, who has kept with thy servant David my father, which thou hast promised him. Thou spakest also by thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel. Solomon's praying, he's getting a hold of God. But it wasn't in Solomon that what David had. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. And when David prayed, David got a hold of God. And man, take your Bible, look at Psalms. Look at Psalms chapter 5. David wrote the book of Psalms. And when David prayed, man, I tell you what. I mean, brother, David had a touch on him. When we talk about somebody having a touch on him, we're talking about somebody that spends time with God. How much time do we spend with God? David had a touch on his life. Why? Because the whole time growing up, he's out there taking care of the sheep. He's by himself. And he's praying, and he's praising, and he's worshiping. So when the day came, 1 Samuel 17, when David goes out there to see what's going on with Israel, to take them food, David, there was no fear in him. I mean, the guy didn't have no fear. He knew who God was. He seen what God did for him, what God allowed a lion and a bear for David to take on. The guy knew how to pray. He knew how to praise. And he knew how to worship. So when he saw Goliath, he said, he said to his family, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God? His brothers got mad at him and said, shut up. You know what you're talking about. Who's taking care of your little sheep out there? David, we know your pride. We know your heart. We know where you are. David said, no, man, what have I done? I'll take the dude on. If you guys are afraid, after 40 days, nobody would step up. David said, I'll do it. Saul heard about it, tried to put his armor on him. David said, I don't need all this stuff. No, I don't need all that. God showed me what he can do. You know, a person that prays and prays or pray and praise God and worships God. Doc used to say this when we were growing in Bible school. He said, you find out what a man fears and what he loves, you know the man. Look at this. Psalms 5. Look what it says. Verse 1, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken on the voice of my cry, my King, my God. For unto thee will I pray. I'm not going to pray some statue. I'm not going to pray some other thing. I'm going to pray to my God, my Savior. Look at Psalm 55. Look at Psalm 55. You know why I started thinking, like I said, I started thinking about why do Christians fail? They try to take the load on themselves. The things in life that are too heavy for you, that are too hard. And they try to carry things and try to make it happen. God, just hang on. I'll just do it my own way. You ever hear people say, me and God got an agreement? I think that's the stupidest saying I've ever heard. Look at Psalm 55. Look at verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray. David's saying this. And cry aloud and shall hear my voice. You know God's waiting for? He's waiting to hear your prayer. God's waiting. My God is listening. And a Christian that knows how to pray, knows how to praise, then knows how to worship. David did all three. You know what happens with us? We worry ourselves sick over stuff that you can't change. And you tell people, have you prayed about it? Well, you know, you don't understand. No, have you prayed about it? Have you asked God to help you? The Bible tells us to pray. It says supplication, prayer, intercession, be made for all men, for kings. I mean, what's happening with our republic? Man, pray for what we're going through right now. But the Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know what? I'll tell you something else David knew how to do. He knew how to pray. He knew how to praise. Take your Bible, look. Look with me. Psalms 9. Go back to Psalms 9. He knew how to praise God. You know what? When you're singing in here, that's not worship. That should be praise. And praise comes out of your mouth, is giving God glory. But when you're worshiping, it's something different. It's a lot different. Now, you can pray, praise, and worship all three in one. You can do it all at one time. You can do it all. But not very many Christians know how to worship. They don't know how to worship God. You know what the Lord says? He says, I'm seeking for the true worshipers. He seeks for true worshipers. He seeks for true praisers that know how to praise Him. I'm not talking about getting up there dancing around going, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about praise, man. Singing to Him with a thankful heart. Look at Psalms 9. Psalms 9, verse 11. It says this. Sing praise to the Lord, which dwell in Zion. Declare among the people His doings. When He maketh inquisition for blood, He remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer to them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death. I mean, praise, man. David's writing this. He's writing all these things. Young boy, young man, writing this stuff. Look at chapter 18. Praise, prayer, praise, worship. Look at 18:49. Look at here. Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praise unto thy name. You know what? When you start, you know what most Christians do? I've preached here, and I've preached against country music. I preach against rap. I preach against rock and roll. I preach against all that junk. But because I find most Christians will get in their car instead of singing praises to God and having a song on their heart, they'll listen to some country music all about them, all about their flesh, all about how it makes me feel. You know, people are trying to find something that makes them happy. I've watched people pull up red light and people sitting in their car and they go, they're trying to make themselves happy. They got some kind of music on. They're trying to, you know, find some kind of peace in it. There is no peace in that music. It makes your flesh feel good for a little bit. I remember when I first got saved, I thought, man, this Christian music is kind of boring. We need to lift it up a little bit. So I started trying to add words to the, you know, rock songs and stuff like that and add words about Jesus in there. And finally somebody said, man, bro, they just don't mix. It just doesn't mix. And I said, well, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Look at Psalms 22. Psalms 22. Psalms 22, and look at verse 3. All the way through the Bible, you'll find praise, prayer be made. I mean, first time you find prayer mentioned in the Bible, it was Abraham. But look in Psalms 22. We'll go to that in a minute. Psalms 22, verse 3, or back up to verse 1. This is God. This is Jesus Christ, prophecy of Jesus Christ on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I asked Jews, I said, who's that talking about? And this is way before Jesus was even born, before he was crucified. Psalms 22 was written, it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's what Jesus said on the cross. He says, why art thou so far from helping me, from the words of my roaring? You know, Jesus, God the Father forsook his own son so you could get in, and you don't praise him? You don't talk to him? God the Father forsook his own son, allowed his son to be crucified on your behalf and suffer the pains of hell? And you don't praise him? You don't thank him? I thank him. I know where I deserve. I know where I ought to be. My brother's been in prison since 1975. I know where I ought to be. I know what God's done for me. Lord's been good to me. Man, I pray every day. I say, Lord, help me have a song on my heart. Every morning I wake up, Lord, give me a song. You know, the Bible says he gives a song to his beloved. I can't help believe I'm spoiled. Amen. He says, verse 2, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and I am not silent. For thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. You know what happened to Israel? Israel, they came out of Egypt. They were praising God. They went across that Red Sea. Miriam got the cymbal, and she started singing, and all the women started singing. They sang the song of Moses. Man, they were rejoicing. But somewhere along the line, when trouble came in their life, they forgot what God did for them in the past. What happens to Christians? Somewhere along the line, you forgot what God did for you, what he's done for you in a daily benefits. Somewhere. Where was it? I tell people, go back to that place. Get back to where you ought to be. You forgot what God's done for you. I never want to forget what he's done for me. I want to pass it down to my family. I want my children to experience it. I want my grandchildren to experience it. Nothing would bless my soul more than anything to see all my family praising God and my grandchildren praising God and worshiping God. Man, that would be heaven on earth, brother. Heaven on earth when everybody's praising God for his goodness. David knew how to, you know what I found? Like I said, I find people that pray, praise, and worship. They're not defeated. They can't be defeated. They cannot. Cannot be defeated. Cannot. Go back in Genesis chapter 20, or 12, excuse me. Genesis 12. So will they go through hard times? Oh, yeah, they'll go through hard times. They'll have troubles. They'll have trials. We did. We still do at times. But they're not going to be knocked down and knocked out. You know, the Bible says a just man falls seven times, but he gets up again. A just man. That's somebody that prays, somebody that praises, somebody that worships. You know what Job said? When all the things happened to Job, he went out, sat in the ash pile. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what most Christians do today? If God doesn't answer their prayer about, I want to hit the lottery, Lord, let me hit the lottery. If you don't hit the lottery, God blank, you don't answer prayer. You spoil little rotten brat. Genesis 12, first time prayer shows up is Abraham telling his wife to lie. But it's not in the sense of praying to God. He's saying, I pray, please tell him you're my sister. That's the first time that word shows up. Look in chapter 20. Like chapter 20, verse 7. Here's where it really shows up. Abraham gets a hold of God. Genesis chapter 20, look at verse 17. And Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech. You know what happened? Same thing again. Abraham tells his wife, tell him you're my sister. He's getting her to lie, which she was his half-sister. And he says, you tell him you're half my, you know why? Here Sarah was, 90 years old, and Pharaoh wanted her, and so did Abimelech wanted her, and they were both kings. She, at 90 years old, she was a good-looking woman. At 90 years old. Can you imagine that? Some woman come in here, and she, you know, beautiful woman. You go, wow, that's the prettiest woman I've ever seen. Hey, baby, how you doing? How old are you, honey? Oh, I'm just 90. What? Just 90 years old? She had a child at 90 years old. Man. What do you think Abraham prayed? The Bible says, and the Lord said, or back up to 20, go to 17. And Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his handmaidens, and they bare children. You know what God did? Because Abimelech took Sarah into his house, and you know he's going to make her another one of his wives. And God shut up their wombs. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because Sarah, Abraham's wife. Isn't that something? So here prayer shows up. Let me show you. And praise, it shows up. It shows up in Psalms like we just read. Praise. Go back to Psalms chapter 47. Psalm 47. So prayer and praising God and worshiping God is very important in a Christian's life. If you're not doing that, if you're not praying and you're not praising God, you say, can young people praise God? What would people think? Who cares? You know what the Muslims teach their kids? They're teaching the kids hatred. Hate Jews, hate Christians. And if you die, blow yourself up and kill a bunch of people, what a blessing that would be. We ought to be teaching our kids how to praise God. How to pray. How to worship. Do we? It shouldn't be a forced thing. It shouldn't be, get on and pray. I went and visited a guy over here one time, and I was knocking on the door, and I came inside, and his daughter, every once in a while, come here, and her brother, and I preached his funeral, I think here. I can't remember if I did it here or what. But anyway, I went to visit this guy, old farmhouse. I went inside. And a man knocked on the door and came in. They said, come in. So his wife saw me. She's like, and she's standing at the stove. She's cooking. And the kid said, hey, preacher. And he was on the phone. And he's looking up at me. And he's like, get this snarl look at me. And finally, he said, I got to go. And he hangs on the phone. He said, who are you? I said, I'm Pastor Ryan from Faith Baptist. He said, get the blank out of my house. Hey, tell me, get out of my house. He's yelling like that. Get out of my house. And he tells his son, go get my gun. So what did I do? I stood there. I don't run. And he goes, you hear me, preacher? I told you, get out of my house. I said, you a mechanic? Yeah, what's that to you? I said, I'm a mechanic too. Oh, yeah? What do you work on? And I told him what I was working on. He said, have a seat. His wife was fixing hamburgers. He said, honey, put another hamburger on it. He's going to stay with us to eat. I had people out in the car. They're sitting out in the car. I said, all right. I thought, I got an open door. That old boy, we sat there, and I said, well, let's pray before we eat. And I remember hearing this guy. It made me think. I said, bow your heads. He bowed his head. Then I heard him yelling at his kids out under his breath, going, bow your head, you stinking animals. You stinking heathen. Bow your head. He's telling his kids to bow his head, bow their heads. And we prayed, and I prayed, God, save this family. You know what God did? Save that family. Praise, prayer. Man, I tell you what's important in a Christian's life. This is like water. It's like food. Reading the Word of God. It's like food and water and milk and vegetables. Prayer. When's the last time you spent some time in prayer? When's the last time you spent some time in praising God? You're not going to praise God with honky-tonk music. You're not going to praise God with all kinds of other junk going on. You're not going to praise the Lord if you don't know how to pray. Prayer is important to Christian's life. Abraham started praying. I mean, praise shows up in the book of Psalms. Actually, praise shows up in first time in Genesis 29. Go back to Genesis 29. First, this is called the law of the first mention. Law of first mention when it shows up. Genesis chapter 29, look at verse 35. She conceived again. This is Rachel. She's with Jacob. And look what she says. She conceived again and bare a son. She said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah and left bearing. Here's a woman just had a child. Sixth child. She has six children. I know that was six of them, but maybe this is fourth right here, fourth. And she starts praising God for having a child. And his name is Judah. Guess what? The Bible says Judah was the lawgiver. Isn't that something? It's praise is connected with the lawgiver and Judah. That's where Jesus Christ came through. Judah. Isn't that something? Just coincidence, right? Just coincidence. Go back to Psalms. Look back to Psalm 56 or 68. Go to Psalm 68. When's the last time you spent some time just praising God? Praising the Lord for his goodness. Psalm 68, look at verse 4. Go to verse 1. He said, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. They will. They will. We know that's from the future tense. That's going to happen. Armageddon, they're going to flee. As smoke is driven away to drive them, so drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of the Lord. You know, the Bible says that men are going to stand before God, and it says their skin is going to melt away like wax. You're talking about a powerful God. They're going to come against him. And the Bible says they're going to just burn up. Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises for his name. Man, what a thing to his name. Exalt him that rideth upon the heavens by the name Jah. Before him, a father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows. God is God in his holy habitation. I mean, you're talking about a great God, a powerful God, a God that loved you enough to allow his son to pay your sin debt. And you can't praise him? You can't give him, talk to him? I tell you what, I'd want to know him in a real way. And the Bible says that you can know him. I'll tell you the last thing. Worship. This is one of the things where most Christians never get to that place in their life. And it's a shame. We call this the worship hour. And I realize when you give, is a type of worship. It's giving. But it's not, it should be from the heart and from within of a thankfulness and exalting him above all in your life. Yeah, the Bible tells us, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. You say, that can't be done. It can be done. If God said it could be done, it can be done. But most Christians don't exalt the Lord in their life and worship him. He can be exalted in your life. Yeah, that's why the Bible says, you know, Abraham, the first time worship shows up, Abraham's going to sacrifice his son. Genesis 22. He takes his son up. He tells the men, he says, me and the boy are going to go yonder and worship. And his son, Isaac, says, Father, here's the wood. There's the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Boy, son, you're the one. God told me to sacrifice. And man, sacrifice was involved, is involved in worship. That's why the Bible tells you in Romans, it says, 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do whatever you want me to do. You want me to talk to that guy? I don't care what he does to me. I'm going to talk to him. You want me to talk to that person? You want me to stand up for you? I'll stand up for you, Lord. I don't care where. I'll stand up for you. Worship is part of sacrifice. Most Christians never get to that place. You say, with all the Christians that say, how many of you think ever gets to that place? I say 1%. I thought, like I said, I started out saying, I wonder why so many Christians fall away and get away from God. I know it's love. If you love something, you'll worship it. Because God's put that in us. And most people worship all this other stuff rather than God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. What do we worship? We worship bodies of people, stars, houses, land, money. Wouldn't it be terrible to get to heaven, find out you really never worshiped God sincerely? Never? That'd be terrible. You never had a real relationship where you got down and you said, oh, God. God. Sometimes worshiping is nothing said. It's just in the heart. It's inside you. You just go, God, thank you. I don't deserve anything. But God, thank you. Thank you. I always tell people I deserve to be in hell, my back broken, my eyes scratched out. I mean it. Christians don't pray. They don't praise. They never get to a place to worship. Abraham goes up. Take your Bible, look in John chapter 4. We'll stop here. Jesus, the Samaritan woman. Worship is an upspring of a heart that has known God the Father as a giver, known his Son as a Savior, and the Spirit as an indweller. John chapter 4, look at verse 4. Actually, go a little further. I'm sorry. Verse 14. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that said thou truly. And the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, but ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain or yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what, but we know what we worship. I'm talking about the Jews. For salvation is of the Jews. For the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God's looking for such to worship him. I preach in Christian schools. And Christian schools are the hardest places you ever want to preach. There's a kid sitting there. They've been raised in Christian home. They know everything. They know, and you preach to them, and they're like, it's like, I can't wait till I get out of here. And when I turn 18, I'm hitting the road. I'm going to be my own, do my own thing. I bet you found, if you went out on the street when all those riots were taking place, you'd probably find a lot of kids raised in a Christian home. Then not living for God. Don't know God. True worshipers, God's looking for. Look at here. He says, he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when you pray, you're praying for the flesh, for things of the flesh, for others. When you're praising, you're encouraging your spirit. But when you're worshiping, that soul inside you is getting stirred. And I found a person that spends time with God in prayer, praise, and worship. You don't have to worry about them. They'll stay true. But those that don't, they go with every wind. No matter where the wind carries them, they're off. Worship is important in a Christian's life. I could go through a whole bunch of other scripture I got. Psalms 95, verse 6 says, let us worship and bow down. I believe in getting down on your knees. Psalms 97, verse 7, worship him, all ye gods, because they will. Psalms 99, verse 5, worship at his footstool. Worship God. And God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When was the last time you spent time in prayer, praise, and worship? If you haven't, don't you think it's time? I mean, you're going to be in heaven, and you read over in Revelation, you find all the saints of God worshiping. You find the 420 elders worshiping. You're going to get to heaven and say, I've never done this before. I've never experienced this before. That's a shame. Back in the Philadelphian period, that's why the church of the Philadelphia was great. I'm talking about the period from about 1500 to early 1900. That's why that period was so great, because those people knew how to pray. That's when missionaries went through all of the world. They knew how to praise. They knew how to worship. But we got in that Laodicean period where people don't know how to pray. Only time they pray is when they want something. The only time you don't see a whole lot of Christians praising God when you're singing these songs. And they don't get down on their face before God and worship him and thank him for his mercy. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, if you read Romans 1, it says, neither were they thankful. It talks about the world, the way the world is. And it says they go into sodomy. They go into lesbians and homosexuals and all that stuff because they didn't thank God for his mercy. No praise, no prayer, no worship. Father, thank you, God, today. Help us, Faith Baptist Church, Lord, to know how to pray, to know how to get a hold of you, God. The Bible says when Paul and Silas was in prison and they prayed and they sang praises to you, shook the prison. My Father, I pray, Faith Baptist Church, we would shake the place up, Lord. Shake the area where we're at to see people saved. Shake the trees that the fruit would fall out and get saved. My Father, I pray, God, help us to worship you. Help us to love you. Help us to, Father God, be with all our heart, not just to put on a show, not just so we can run the aisles to show anybody that we're spiritual, but just, God, nothing wrong with running the aisles, nothing wrong with praising God. But God, help us to have that spirit, like the Bible says,